Our scripture reading this morning will come from Romans chapter 6. It's found on page 942 and 943 in your pew Bibles. We'll be focusing on verses 12 through 14, but for context, I'm going to start with verse 5 of Romans chapter 6 and read through verse 14 of the sixth chapter of Paul's book to the Romans. Hear now the word of God. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. We know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. For one who has died has been set free from sin. Now if we have died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death he died to sin once for all, but the life he lives to God. So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal bodies to make you obey their passions. Do not present your members to sin as instruments for unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and your members to God as instruments for righteousness. For sin will have no dominion over you, since you are not under law, but under grace. Thus we've read from Romans chapter 6. Let us go to the Lord in prayer. Father in heaven, we thank you for your holy word, and we ask that you would bless its reading, hide it in our hearts, and be with the proclamation of your word this morning. Accomplish your purpose and glorify your name. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. You may have seen some old movies or television shows where people come before and present themselves to their king or to their lord, and they come and they bow and they take the oath of loyalty to their lord, and the lord blesses them and sends them on their way. This picture of presenting oneself to your king, to your ruler, to your leader. This is what Paul is using here in this language of presenting ourselves either as instruments for unrighteousness to sin or as instruments for righteousness to God. He's painting for us that word picture of kingly courts. He's encouraging us not to let sin reign in our bodies. Not to let sin have dominion and govern us as a king might. The idea he is drawing from is as those of rulers and authorities. People would have been familiar with how they act, how they had to act in front of governors or kings or leaders of armies. They understood authority and how to act before them in the first century. It's a little more foreign and a little more distant from us. We're not ever called to go pledge ourselves to the state of Nebraska or to the United States of America. But in those days, they would have had times where they had to act differently in front of the governor appointed by Caesar. If a king called you, you went, you answered the summons. And if you didn't go, if you didn't present yourself to the king when summoned, you found yourself in big trouble. But usually if you were called, you obeyed and you went and you presented yourself to the king, presenting yourself to the court in order to hear what the king says to you and to then go and do the will of that king to serve. Presenting yourself in his court was a willingness to serve. We can see it in several places in the Old Testament. For example, Daniel chapter 1. The young children, including Daniel and Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego, were taken, and they were taken to Babylon to be educated and to be fed in the Babylonian manner for 3 years, and then they were to stand before the king. Daniel chapter 1 verse 6, they were to be presented before the king. The goal was for them to be put forward as servants of Babylon. But Daniel, Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego remained faithful to God, although they still had to stand before the king of Babylon. Daniel was able to do so and find favor thanks to his following God and not the rules of Babylon. The book of Esther gives us another example. One wasn't able to go to the court of the king without an invitation. But if you were invited, you were expected to present yourself to the king. That's why Queen Vashti gets in so much trouble in chapter 1. She was told to come and she refused to present herself, and she finds herself banished. Forever forbidden from being in the presence of the king. Again, Joseph is another example in the Old Testament. Called to the courts of Pharaoh, and he presents himself there to help Pharaoh and to do as Pharaoh needed. In fact, before he presented himself before Pharaoh, he shaved and put on new clothes in order to present himself to the ruler of Egypt, Genesis 41, verse 14. Presenting himself to Pharaoh in order to help, in this case, interpret dreams. Paul uses the same sort of language for us about presenting ourselves to God and not presenting our members to sin. We are to come before Him and present ourselves to God not as slaves, no longer as slaves in chains, but as subjects presenting themselves at court for service. This new picture is meant to reflect the reality of being saved by grace. Since we're no longer under law, but under grace. Since we've been rescued from our sins. We should come before the throne of God and present ourselves as a living sacrifice of thanksgiving. Rescued from our former condition and put into a new one, a freed one. We are not made kings ourselves. But we are to come before the throne of God and present ourselves as instruments of righteousness. Paul's still arguing and answering that question from the first verse of chapter 6 about what shall we say then? Are we to continue to sin that grace may abound? He's saying, no, now that you've had the grace, go back to God and present yourself as instruments of righteousness, as servants, thankful for the work of their king, and willing to do His will. That's the word picture that He paints for us. But we might could ask ourselves, what does it mean then to present our members as sin, our members to sin as instruments for unrighteousness? We have to know what it means in order that we won't do it. And using this image that Paul wants us about presenting yourself to a king, that presenting your members to sin then is a picture of allowing ourselves to be ruled by sin. It's really the opposite of what we're told to do when we're told to flee temptation. Presenting yourself or your members to sin would be not fleeing temptation. Allowing our body to be in the path of sin, looking upon things that inspire lust, or listening to the counsel of the wicked, standing in the way of sinners, not fleeing idolatry. And it will definitely be different temptations for each and every one of us, but we're called to know and to not present our members as instruments of unrighteousness, to not give ourselves over and leave ourselves in the path of temptation and of sin. We even prayed just a few moments ago, lead us not in temptation. Lingering in temptation would be one of the ways that we presented our members to sin as instruments for unrighteousness. And this idea of instruments of unrighteousness is probably even better understood as weapons of unrighteousness. That idea helps communicate the spiritual warfare that we fight, that it is a battle, that this is serious business that we are discussing and that Paul is putting before us. Are you going to be a weapon for sin and for unrighteousness? That this is a war and matters of life and death are being discussed before us here. It's fitting imagery to that of serving and following the King. Are you going to be a weapon in the army of sin or a weapon in the army of the Lord? Whose side are you going to be on? As Paul reminds us in Ephesians, ultimately the fight is not against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities. We must fight against the reign and rule of sin, not only in the world, but in our own hearts and our own lives. In fact, it must begin there. And so Paul tells us, don't present yourself to sin. Don't allow yourself to be a weapon for unrighteousness, but rather present yourselves to God. And note the difference of presenting your members to sin and presenting yourself to God. For the Lord wants a wholehearted service. He wants it to be complete and total devotion. Not just your members, not just your outward body, but your heart. Body and soul, as our catechism so often repeats. That's what is to be presented to God. So, it's true our embers might be used as instruments of righteousness, but we must present ourselves body and soul, heart and mind, thought and action before the Lord to be in His service. Because we must take not only our actions, but every thought captive to the obedience of the Lord Jesus Christ. To be in the army of God and to be in the service of the Lord Jesus Christ means to wholeheartedly be a believer and a follower of Him. Think back when, I guess it's been years ago now, when we preached through the book of Kings, 1 and 2 Kings, how often those kings had half-hearted service to the Lord. It was pointed out multiple times that he did what the Lord wanted, but half-heartedly so. And ultimately that king would fall into evil and would do something wrong. Because it was half-hearted service. Paul here is saying, no, present yourselves, all of you, to God. And present it for His service and His service alone. That idea of presenting ourselves to God has to include that idea of being ready and willing to serve Him. Think of Isaiah before the throne room of God as he hears the angels, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, and he falls on his face. He makes his confession of sin. He's purged from his sin as the hot coal touches his lips. What comes after that? The question goes out, whom shall we send? And Isaiah says, here I am, send me. He's presented himself, body and soul, before the throne room of God. He confessed his sin and was forgiven, and then said, I now wish to serve. Send me. A wholehearted willingness to do as God asks of us, even if what He asks was difficult. Few of us will have such a dramatic chance to present ourselves to God as Isaiah had. But we are given other pictures of people understanding now that they have been saved by grace, and they're not under law but under grace, that they must present themselves to serve their Lord. Let me offer up the example of Zacchaeus. You've probably all remember the story of Zacchaeus, or at least the song of the wee little man. He climbed up in the tree, he was a tax collector, and apparently had somewhat cheated those people that he had collected taxes from. And when the Lord Jesus Christ went to his house and Zacchaeus becomes a believer, the next thing he does is present himself to the Lord in service and restores that which he had stolen, repenting of his sin, going forth and serving God. He had to remove the stumbling block to the service of Jesus. He had to repent of his sin and make right, restore that which had been taken. Or you could think of the 10 lepers that are healed, and the one lone leper comes back and he falls at his feet, presents himself to the Lord Jesus Christ, ready now to serve. Ready to serve his great priest king, Jesus Christ. Paul has made it clear here in this chapter 6 that we are free from sin thanks to the power of Jesus Christ. That death no longer has dominion over him because of his death. Verse 10 that we read, "For the death he died to sin once for all, but the life he lives to God. So you must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus." That our victory over sin, even that remaining power of sin, is through the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. Yet now here is Paul saying that we must present ourselves to God. And there is a picture put before us of choosing whether we present ourselves to sin, to be instruments of unrighteousness, or to present ourselves to God so that we might be instruments of righteousness. And you might ask, isn't that putting the Christian living back in my power rather than in the power of the Lord Jesus Christ? But I would submit to you that this is not an either-or situation, but a both-and. Because we've been saved, because sin has no dominion over us and we're not under law and under grace, we ought to present ourselves to God. It is both because of His power and therefore we go and do. Without God's redeeming love and the changing of our heart, we can never present ourselves to God. Without Jesus' power, we are not those who've been brought from death to life, as we were told in verse 13. We need Christ's grace to be those whom sin no longer has dominion over, as we're told in verse 14. But the Christian life does not mean we sit back and do nothing. Instead, what it means is that we now, that we have that new heart from God and the desires to present itself to God for service, that we will no longer have the desire to sin so that grace may abound as he started this chapter, but rather we'll have the desire to go back to our Lord and Savior and present ourselves to Him and say, "I'm ready to serve," knowing that it's only through His power that we could do it in the first place. It's both God enabling and strengthening, and we presenting ourselves. In these first 14 verses of chapter 6, Paul makes sure we understand that we do willingly go before the throne and present ourselves because of the great power that Christ has done and all of His work, that we died to sin and live to God thanks to the life and death of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so as we have started this chapter 6, one of the things that Paul wants to hammer home to us in these few verses is for us to remember that Jesus Christ is King Jesus. He is not just your Savior, but He is your King. To Him we owe all, including our allegiance and our obedience. Sometimes we forget that fact, that Jesus is King Jesus too. It sometimes gets lost in all the discussion about Jesus as Christ and Savior and how He saved us from our sins. Amen. Let's never forget that wondrous great fact, that message of grace that we've been saved for our sins, but attached to it is that He is also your Lord. And that we are His. Or as the first question of the Catechism puts it, and that great reminder, we are not our own. We belong to our faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. We belong to Him, and He has redeemed us with His precious blood. Wrapped up in the very heart of the gospel is our God reigns. Jesus Christ reigns as our King, now and forevermore. Paul has also showed us here in this juxtaposition of presenting yourselves or your members to sin and yourselves to God that everyone serves something. There's no neutral ground. You are either serving sin or you are serving God. No one on earth can get out of this truth. We are serving someone or something. Lots of people in this world think that they're living for themselves or that they're their own king. But that's because they don't understand sin. To live in such a way is to serve sin. To live under the delusion of Satan's temptation that you can be like God. And it's to fall prey and to serve Him by believing His lie. Sometimes serving sin is obvious when we have things that are life-dominating sins. Those sins that lead us to prioritize something else. Maybe like drinking or drugs, getting drunk or feeling high over the safety of others or even over our own health. And that sin then dominates and destroys life. But in the end, all sin is this way. We might be serving our own greed or our own lust or our own delusions. The service of sin is just as life dominating as those more obvious ones. But if we present our members to sin, it will rule our lives one way or another. And we serve sin without a doubt. Paul here has boiled it all down so that we understand that there are only two choices. You are living for sin or you are living for Jesus Christ. There is no other choice. He has lumped all things into that category of serving sin. If you have rejected God, you are serving sin. There are no free agents in the world. There are no neutral third parties. We are serving something and someone. The only question is who? To whom are you presenting yourself? Which leads then to the obvious next application. The same call that Joshua gave out. Choose you this day whom you will serve. If Jesus is God, then serve Him. If you have some other God, then you'll be serving Him. whether it's Baal, money, whatever it might be. But you should choose you this day whom you will serve. Joshua gave that call to the children of Israel as they were about to begin dwelling in the promised land. And he made sure that the choice was before them. You are going to either choose Baal or the gods of Egypt, or you'll choose God. Choose now and serve. The same call goes out again later when Elijah is facing off with the prophets of Baal. He says, how long are you going to hesitate between two opinions? Pick one. You're either going to serve the Lord Jesus Christ or you're serving Baal. Don't pretend you're in the middle. Because only one is truly God. Paul here echoes that same call. Present yourselves to God, not to sin. Serve the Lord Jesus Christ, who has redeemed you from your sins and trespasses, who has redeemed you from the wrath of God and the curse of the law. By His grace He has saved you. So serve Him. Because if you're not, then you're still under sin. And all that that brings with it. Repent and believe, and you too can be saved. The great call of the gospel. Let's go to Him now in prayer. Gracious Lord in heaven, we thank You. We thank You for Your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is our King and our Redeemer. We thank You for Your grace, and we come before You now and we present ourselves to You as instruments and weapons of righteousness. Lord, use us and shape us and mold us to do Your will and Your bidding, so that Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Gracious Lord, thank You for the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank You for His life and His death, His resurrection and His ascension. Help us now live in that faith by the power of Your Spirit. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.